Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, investors is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, you so blind the beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terrain and test your endurance. Try to keep your stamina banging, splitting dutchies up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris, work for quarter mill and Dick Hill. For fish scales, the cops, the time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa, 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake, go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new, here
revolution,
we new.
Every warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolution, every warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
my irons.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free to land. Revolutionary agree. Welcome to another edition of Georgia Emerson Radio. I'm your host, Mike Secure, where I go with the fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to a new African mentality. And our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Where our fifth goal is to prepare new African prisoners for relief, produce new African recidivism. And our overall goal is to transform the whole entire free industrial complex, knowing the prison system, and to the big institution of learning through education. I mean, before I bring on the guests tonight, I go a couple of events that happened in history during this week. July 11th through the 13th, black intellectual activists organized the Niagara Movement at a meeting near Niagara Falls. Delegates from 14 states led by W. Du Bois and William Monroe Trotter demanded abolition of all distinctions based on race. On 1967, the 11th through the 13th, a race riot occurred in Tampa, Florida. National Guard mobilized. And in 2000, Reverend Vashiti Murphy McKenzie elected the first woman bishop of the AME Church at a quadrennial convention in Cincinnati. In 2009, Anayadiki returns home with a 16-year-old and a younger African-American female to pilot a plane across the country from California to Virginia. She was in pilot training since age 12. July 12, 1951, Governor Adlai Stevenson called our National Guard to start riding in Cicero, Illinois, where a white mob of 3,500 tried to keep a black family from moving into the all-white city. In 1963, National Guard troops imposed limits to martial law in Cambridge, Maryland, after open confrontation between demonstrators and white segregationists. In 1966, the 12th through the 15th, a race riot occurred on the west side of Chicago. National Guard mobilized. In 1967, hold up. In 1967, U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Virginia law banning racial intermarriage was unconstitutional. Also, 1967, the 12th through the 15th, a race riot occurred in Cincinnati. 300 persons were arrested and the National Guard mobilized. Okay. In 1980, John W. Davis, former president of West Virginia State College, died in Inglewood, New Jersey at the age of 92. July 13, 1787, the Continental Congress excluded slaves from Northwest Territory. 1863-13-16, hostility to draft and fear of blacks, the cause of the war and potential competitors in the labor market led to New York draft riot, one of the bloody race riots of American history. White terrorists swept through streets, murdering blacks and hanging them from lampposts. More than 1,000 were killed or wounded. 1868, Oscar L. Dunn, a former slave, formerly installed as Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, the highest elected office held to that date by African American. Antoine Dubuclay was installed as state treasurer. Also, Alabama legislator, 26 black, 16 white, met in Montgomery. In 1967, we had Thurgood Marshall, U.S. Solicitor General, named to the Supreme Court by President Johnson. He was confirmed by the Senate on August 30 and was sworn in on October 2nd as the first black Supreme Court justice. Okay, we got another one. Let me see. In 1972, the Bureau of Census report that black unemployment averaged 9.9% in 1971. The compared with a 4.4% rate for whites. The report also said 31.8% of all black families were headed by women, an increase from 20% report in 1970. I got another, I missed the date. In 1948, we had the birth of Bob Blair Sunni Ali, a former New African political prisoner, a poet, a writer, an educator, a supporter of Iman Jamil Al-Amin, supporter of political prisoners, and all over our New African Freedom Fighter, and an elder. On today's date, 1919, a race riot occurred in Longview and Gregg counties in Texas. Martial law was declared. In 1891, John Steiner awarded patent for refrigerator. Also on today's date, the birth is born there, Bob Watanabe Yemba, who's a co-founder of New African People Organization, co-founder of the Malcolm McGrath Movement, a member of the Raman-based Black Panther Party, the African People Party, author, a martial artist. He created New African School, New African Martial Arts School, and overall freedom fighter. Okay, on July the 15th, 1864, General A.J. Smith, with 14,000 men, including a brigade of black troops, defeated Nathan B. Forrest at Harrisburg, New Tupelo, Mississippi. 1869, A.G. Haynes, black captain of Arkansas Militia, assassinated Marion, Arkansas. 1898, National African American Council found in Rochester, New York. Bishop Alexander Walters of the AME Zion Church was elected president of the organization to propose a program of assertion and protest. Okay, we have another one. We have another one. 1948, Alabama, Mississippi Democrat voted Democratic Convention after adoption of strong
on July the 17th.
The so-called Democrats opposed to integration and civil rights. Men in Birmingham and nominated South Carolina Governor J. Strom Thurmond for president. July the 16th, 1861, President Lincoln added the general
in chief to let slave master bring back those fugitive slaves who had crossed the Potomac, where Union troops finally had exited their desire. The Department of Washington on July the 17th excluded fugitive slaves from quarters and camps in the Union Army and barred them from accompanying troops on the march. In 1862, with the birth of Ida Barnett Wells, who was civil rights activist and organizer. She was a reporter. They reported a lot of the aspects of the lynching and attacks on New African people. In 1947, with the birth of Thaw Shakur, a continued African political exile, who's currently exiled now, known as the Mother of Black Liberation Army, known as the Black Panther Party, and the overall freedom fighter.
1794, Absalom Jones and his followers dedicated the African Church of St. Thomas in Philadelphia. On August 12, 1794, the St. Thomas parishioners affiliated with the Protestant Episcopal Church. 1794, Richard Allen organized Philadelphia African Methodist Episcopal Church. For a historical note, Richard Allen Absalom Jones also part of the Free African Society, and he also part of the Black Freemason, became known as Prince Hall Freemason Lodge. 1862, Congress passed the Second Confiscation Act, which freed the slaves of all rebels. 1862, Congress authorized presidents to accept black for military service. 1863, Union troops with 1st Kansas Volunteers playing a leader role, ruled the rebels at Honey Spring Indian Territory. Black troops captured colors of the Texas Regiment. 1959, singer Billie Holiday, who considered one of the two or three greatest song stylists in jazz history, died in New York City at the age of 44. One of the great songs, told by the Scream Fruits. 1984, Jesse Jackson Sr., following withdrawal from presidential race and speech at the Democratic Convention in San Francisco. You know, there's a lot of events happening in history. There's some events happening in history, but so much going on. Free land dog, Odo, identify with land, revolutionary ingredients, free our new African political prison, our new African, catch new African citizens. All right, welcome to the show tonight, Brother SJ and Sister Coco Thompson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Free
how you doing? How you doing, dear brother? Free land. How you doing, dear brother? How you doing, good sister?
Revolutionary greetings. How's everybody?
Okay. I'm good. Okay, okay. We're gonna start with you. See, how you doing, good brother? Start off with you, good brother. You know, yes, sir. It's been a long time, brother. It's been a long time since you've been on your platform, but you're not no stranger to the platform. You know, you're not no stranger.
No doubt, you wearing
too many hats, man. You wearing about 1,000 hats right now, man. So I don't know where to start at, man. But you know, really want to get an understanding about this about the national. We're gonna start with everything else, man. And welcome to that. Tell us about this the Jihad Law You Speak. What exactly is it, and how, what's their function, and how do people get involved with it, or how do people support it?
Okay. First of all, Free the Land, Revolutionary Greetings to the listening audience. Jihad Law You Speak.
Sir.
Can you hear me pretty good?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
I hear you well.
All right. All right, then. Jihad Law You Speak. It's a national prisoners human rights platform that began several years back. I'm going to say officially probably about 2014, 2015 officially. And Jailhouse Law You Speak is organized on the basis of assisting prisoners with legal resources as it relates to their cases, not only their cases, but also connecting them to legal advocacy groups on the outside, not only connecting legal advocacy groups on the outside, but also groups that are also much more into being able to push certain agendas as it relates to prisoners' human rights, prisoners' rights in general, things of that nature. So that's kind of where we're at as it relates to what it has primarily been about. Obviously, over the years, we've expanded we've expanded to where we've become taking a more aggressive stance, because one thing we do recognize is that all issues can't be resolved through the court system. Some things is going to require legislative changes, and so sometimes we'll find ourselves into protesting certain issues, and that may end up being from basic demonstrations at the prison to calling demonstrations on the outside as well. Jailhouse Law You Speak is a national platform. We offer membership to only people that are inside the prisons, because we wanted to make sure that this particular vehicle is for prisoners only and being driven by prisoners only. We do network with outside comrades, allies, what may not be, and we network with them to make sure that we are more powerful and more aggressive in our stances and our accomplishments, and make sure we're actually reaching our goals that we want to reach as Jailhouse Lawyers. I do want to backtrack for a second here. Jailhouse Law You Speak started off initially with a small group in the southern area. Started off with a small group of for lack of a better word at the moment, George Jackson Reading Group. I'll just leave it at that for the moment. But we started off as a small group, George Jackson Reading Group, and we decided, based upon our objectives, that we needed to expand. Well, our particular formation, we knew we could not expand like that, so we created the Jailhouse Law You Speak, which allowed us to meet some of the objectives that Comrade George had laid out as it related to selling your quarrels, coming together, you know, and dealing with our current reality. And so that's what we did with Jailhouse Law You Speak. So it gave us a vehicle to be able to reach more further out, more broader to be able to address certain elements in the prison population that we will couple as the prison class to be able to bring their issues forward as well. And this is how we primarily have been organizing over the years, to ensure that we are moving as a prison class. So that's just a little bit about Jailhouse Law You Speak there.
Okay. Can you tell a little bit about the I am We on Ubuntu, and how did it coincide with Jailhouse Law You Speak?
Yeah, I am We Ubuntu came about because that was an organization that we got with an organizer on the outside, Crystal. We got with her and her team, and what we wanted to do was be able to give organizers on the outside a body to get involved with. They can meet directly at the table with us and help us push our agenda. And particularly, they are known for helping us push the Millions of Prisoners Human Rights March, which we organized a few years back with their leadership on the outside. And I am we, as everybody know it means, I am because we are. And it's African-centered. It's the closest thing we can get as it relates to human rights, because to us it's the essence. It's talking about the essence of human rights, you know, because it's humanity. It's that quality of oneness in each of us, you know. I am because we are, you know. It speaks, it ensures that each human's dignity is always cared for in our actions, thoughts, and deeds. So this is when we say I am we say Ubuntu. That's just a little bit dealing with the name and the phrase. But as it relates to the organizing level, we want to try to make sure we was organizing chapters or membership in different states on the outside. It gave people, because they couldn't join Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, it gave organizers on the outside an opportunity to be able to deal with an outside vehicle that we can come to the table with and meet and confer. And actually, we still do today. We still meet. We still discuss certain national issues. And some things, obviously, because we're prisoners, we can't carry across the line, so we depend on our dear comrades on the outside to be able to carry forth agendas on the outside to places that we can't go hands and feet.
Okay. How did all this tie in for the Media for Prisoners? In regards to that, what is the man of 13, the 13 member, how are they all tying together in relation to each other?
Okay. I'm
saying you're inside facilitator, so, you know.
Right, no doubt. One of the things when you're dealing with the Millions of Prisoners Human Rights, that right there is also because of the basic platform that we launched from as Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, the human rights area. So one of the things you're dealing with the Men's Prisoners Human Rights, we actually, you know, because you actually participated, you was one of the core people too that actually helped push that agenda in Washington D.C. But one of the things is that we wanted to make sure was that the 13th Amendment was emphasized at that particular time. You know, you had prisoners and still do have prisoners that have acknowledged the 13th and that have wanted to see the 13th eradicated. And this has been going on. This particular amendment is related to the exception clause, which is the exception. Everyone is so-called free except if you commit a crime. And so that effectively legalized slavery inside this nation. And we know that this has been argued all the way back to the early 60s and a little bit before that as it relates to prisoners. Particularly has been arguing this point all the way up until the present. So really we just kind of standing on the shoulder of giants from way back then up to the present time now. Once again, as it relates to the Ministry of Human Rights, we look at ending slavery, legalized slavery particularly in this nation, as a human rights issue. So this is what brought the Ministry of Prison Human Rights about, and we wanted to make sure also that it gave people that was networking around similar issues or the same issues that are related to, some people would say, ending prison slavery or ending legalized slavery inside this nation. It gave us the opportunity to all meet in one area and begin to network and begin to tie the knots. And today, if you ask us, we would tell you that had a very powerful impact across this nation, because many people from different areas of this society took note of the Millions of Prisoners of Human Rights and committed, and not only committed, but built bonds across the aisles. And today we are seeing the anti-slavery network is moving full force today. You know, this was, we did this during a time when it really wasn't too popular, you know, and today it's all over now, you know, and I think that's because of the work we've done to lay the foundation down, and now today people feel more comfortable about talking about legalized slavery in this nation and getting rid of it. And also one more thing we have to look at too is who does this legalized slavery most impact the most, you know? So this is a special issue for us because it's coming from our tradition, you know, since our people came up off those slave boats over here, you know, fighting as political prisoners and prisoners of war, you know. So this thing has been ongoing. And, of course, this is only one aspect of our struggle in this nation. But nonetheless, though, it's been an ongoing war in this nation dealing with slavery. So I'm looking at it as an accomplishment of where we're at today on that. But that's what so when we're talking about the Meetings for Prisoners of Human Rights, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about legalized slavery inside this nation and pushing forward to eradicate it.
True indeed. Yeah, it has been a lot of developments all throughout the years. Ever since the march and rally took place in D.C., you know, has been a lot of concerns with different people in regards to the 13th Amendment. He also had a documentary on Netflix called 13th, you know, so a lot of things have been highlighted in regards to this situation. Veteran scholars and educators and revolutionaries have been talking about certain things in regards to that, you know. But it get even deeper than that, like you said, in regards to 13th, we get even deeper than that in regards to, like, physical, mental slavery, oppression, you know what I'm saying, the basic and neglect of medical, the neglect of one's health, isolation, where one being tortured, mass incarceration, you know what I'm saying? You know, it had different levels, man, you know what I'm saying? Different racial attacks within inside of the prison system. It had different levels there, right?
Right.
Very interesting thing. It's always good to spread education to mind and mass people so they can understand what's going on. A lot of times people on the outside don't know what's going on. But they think they know due to the fact that they see certain things on TV, which is based on a lot of propaganda. Until they actually talk to the people or hear the people speak about it, they're actually affected by all these different atrocities with the inside who actually suffer from this lifestyle, you know, who basically had to accept a culture that's not our own, but we had to survive nonetheless.
That's right.
Which is really crazy. You know, and I thank you for coming to that broadcast. You're not understanding, right? I'm going to go to Sister Coco. I'm going to Sister Coco right quick. I'm coming back to you. How you doing, Sister Coco?
I'm well, thank you. How are you? Good to have
you.
I'm doing well.
Okay. You got a comrade?
We're over here, comrade.
You might have put it on mute. Okay. Sister, good to hear, Frank. Okay. Okay, Coco. I understand that you speak about political re-education. What exactly is political re-education, and why is it necessary? What exactly is that? What do you mean by that term?
You know, I think a lot of times, like if I think back to even my own self as someone who has been, you know, politicized and, you know, the direction that I've gone in, right, and thinking of abolition and what that means. I think that in this country, I think we've been misled, you know, year by year, thinking that the legal system, you know, voting or whatnot is the way that we're going to free our people. So when I think about abolition, right, I think that, you know, as someone who believes in abolition, I do believe that a lot of people are misguided, and I think that even myself, I continue to grow and learn more and more about what abolition means, and to me at least. And I think that there's just a lot of re-education that needs to happen for our people, so that we can, you know, we can coincide within this movement, right, and grow stronger. And I think that if we align, we might not align in all aspects. There's going to always be something that, you know, many of us may disagree on. But I think if we really truly get a better understanding or a grasp of the history of this country, right, and the history of enslavement and this targeted war on our people, I think that, you know, we can, you know, become stronger when it comes down to our resistance. And I think through our political re-education. I think if we re-educate and re-understand, you know, what it is that the type of efforts that need to be made in order for us to, I guess, to have a more effective resistance, I think that we, I think we can pull out stronger than, you know, and just in general in that case.
My next question is, I understand that you are organizing national shutdown discussions in regards to political education, political discussions, and can you tell them more about these different discussions that you're organizing or you're putting together? Tell them about your discussions, your panel, so to speak, that you're putting together.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, maybe not everyone knows, but we do know that there are Jailhouse Lawyers has called for us as abolitionists to demonstrate in the spirit of abolition on, you know, very specific dates, which is August 21st and September 9th. And in order for and thinking of that, right, I coalition of us have decided with a member from JLS to, you know, create a panel series in regards to thinking about abolition and ways that we as abolitionists can move forward in our in these calls to action. And I guess, like, you know, the idea of it is to think about, like, what is abolition in regards to, you know, the prison industrial slave complex, but I think taking it a little bit further and thinking about, like, these terms of, like, dismantling and thinking of terms of, you know, disrupting a system that continues to torture and continues to hold our, you know, family members behind bars for, you know, an extended period of time. And so I think with these panel discussions, it gives us an opportunity to not only have discussions as abolitionists, but to have these discussions with prisoners. And I think that's, you know, one of the biggest points of these panels is to think of, like, how can we as abolitionists have this discussion and think of it as a national strategy to have these conversations and to really hear from prisoners and to get a better understanding of what it's going to take for us to essentially, you know, want to abolish the system, right? And, you know, if I really want to go that far. And I think that these conversations and thinking about political re-education, thinking about, you know, infrastructure and thinking about how we can rebuild and put in place a national coordinated effort in order to do so.
Okay. So all of these panels are strictly for the people incarcerated, or is there any space for people on the outside to participate in the panels, or just for the incarcerated, to get the incarcerated voices out?
I mean, the primary goal is for incarcerated people, prisoners, to have a voice, right? And so primarily that is the majority of people that we have asked to be on the panel. In this case, so we would have also, you know, based on participation, folks from the outside also in conjunction and having this dialogue, right? I think that it's important to create a dialogue and to be able to ask these questions and have these honest conversations. And I think that's something that I have, I know that we, you know, we hear podcasts and, you know, there are, you know, episodes where you'll hear from one prisoner from, you know, one location or, you know, what's happening, you know, in another state. And I think that this gives us an opportunity to hear, you know, and hopefully to hear from, you know, different incarcerated people, you know, throughout the system, and then for them to also have a conversation. And then also for us as abolitionists to have that conversation as well and to open up that dialogue and to really think on, again, ways to move forward with abolition.
Okay. And these conversations will be made to the public, right? These conversations, these kind of be made public.
Yeah.
It'll be accessed to the public. Okay. Okay. One more.
Yeah.
Question.
I mean, at this time, to protect people, you know, at this time, you know, we are, you know, keeping it tight on like when it's gonna be released and what's gonna happen. But at the end of the day,
okay.
You know, like the point is for these to be, you know, aired and for listeners on the outside, listeners on the inside to hear this dialogue, to hear these questions, to, you know, think about and I'll even go step back a little bit and say that, you know, as someone who, like myself, I want to listen to what people on the inside are saying, right? And I think that for me, a strategy of my own is like, if I have these conversations and I continue to, you know, whether it's listening firsthand, whether it is listening to a podcast, whether it's reading a news article, and, you know, and there's a lot of voices that we may miss and we may not hear. So I think this gives us an opportunity to, you know, really come together and then also spread that, you know, nationally so that people in their own local vicinities can think about, you know, ways that they can take action. Because it doesn't have to be something that's huge, national, you know, march, you know, across, you know, whatever, you know, city. I think, you know, small local areas are also important. Universities that support the prison industrial slave complex. I think, you know, ICE detention centers. I think, you know, people can, you know, get involved. And I think if we have these discussions, we can kind of, you know, spark that within people, you know, throughout the country who may not have, you know, been a part of the discussion.
Okay. I got one more question. You mentioned the term abolition. For the people who do not know abolition, what does the term actually mean?
Oh, man. I mean, it's, you know, I think a lot of people have different definitions of abolition. However, I think when it comes down to we have to see the system as, like, interconnected, right? We see the, you know, policing. We hear a lot about, you know, defund the police, abolish the police, and, you know, these systems are all working together. We have the courts, we have, you know, DAs, we have, you know, the police, and then you obviously have the prison. And, you know, this constant profit-making, targeted war, if you want to call it that, and you have a lot of political prisoners inside, and you have a lot of people who have been inside for so many years with these, you know, exaggerated sentences. And I think for me as an, you know, when I think about abolition, I think of, you know, building something that does not replicate that system, right? I don't believe in the reform, right? And if I think about abolition, whether it's police or whether it's prisons, I think of abolition as something that we are going to, you know, tear down, and we are going to build something that is going to benefit us as a people. And there's many different people that are affected by this, and I think there are many people, no matter who you are, that are going to benefit from, you know, a new system, and a system that does not treat us like animals and does not cage us and does not kill us in the streets, and, you know, and a new world where we can work our problems out and our contradictions with amongst ourselves, right? And I think that that's something that we've never been given that opportunity to do.
Okay. I appreciate that. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast, show you now that we understand. Thank you for working on doing the past, working on the present, working on the future. I'm going to go back to Brother S.J. right quick. Brother S.J., okay.
Yes, sir.
I understand that National Settlement Demonstration has two dates, August 21st, September 9th. What is significant of those dates, and why were they chosen in particular?
Right. Well, first, let me backtrack for 1 second. I'm going to say the shutdown. I do want the listener audience to know that the shutdown demonstrations was definitely called in the spirit of abolition. And when we say the spirit of abolition, we're talking about people understanding that it's connected to the historical struggle. People understanding that it's actually connected to the historical struggle of abolition that has always been ongoing. Once again, since the days that our ancestors were forced over the only shores and the battle actually began. So there's a huge connection there, historically speaking. And so when we're talking about dismantling the prison industrial slave complex, we're actually speaking of prison abolition, which is definitely eliminating the punishment model, the slave patrols, the caging, and, you know, and just undoing society as we know it today. Now, and we know that when you pull at that one string there, speaking of dismantling the prison industrial slave complex, when you pull at that one string, we are unraveling an entire system, because just the same way as the old school enslavement process in the South was built up on the backbones of our people, is the same way prisons today is built up on the backbones of our people. And the same way they went to war to unravel that system is the same system we have today, because it's the core. That system was the core of the South then. This system is the core of the United States today. So this is something that we understand. We're talking about the prison industrial slave complex. And it's also something we got to understand. We always want people to have a glimpse of, when we're talking about this dismantling the prison industrial slave complex, we want people to have an understanding that there is something that is better. But we have to put forth action in order to manifest that, in order to bring it into being. So anytime we talk about prison abolition, this is what we're actually saying. This is actually what we're discussing. You know, we're trying to get people to the next level. So being an abolitionist today is a good thing. This is somewhere we need people to be at. So when we're talking about shut them down demonstrations, we're also promoting abolition. We're promoting around the nation. We don't need to promote reforms, because reforms only ensures that the system stays intact. You know, it has only expanded, actually, under the quote-unquote reform model. So we're definitely trying to get that out of the way. Actually, there was a couple quotes of Comrade George Jackson came to mind, but I'll skip over that for a second. But August the 21st, to your question directly, August the 21st is directly related to Comrade George Jackson's assassination. It's also directly related to the month of Black August, this historical significance of Black August and its relationship in the overall struggle of abolition in this nation. And so when we're dealing with that, we're dealing with the struggle that was ongoing during that time period. And we're dealing with the September the 9th, which is the uprising of Attica, or what led to the uprising of Attica, the 21st to September the 9th. Also, these days is also significant because we also call the last national prison strike in 2018 during these particular dates as well. So we're trying to keep some consistency, but simultaneously we want people to understand that we're building up. We're still building up on the same platform. Nothing has changed. The struggle is still ongoing, but not only is the struggle ongoing, but we have to organize even more. Because keep in mind, even when we're calling shut them down right now, this is only the mobilizing phase, okay? We're actually mobilizing to organize. Every time we mobilize, we're organizing. We're only growing every time in an organized way, because the only way we're going to win this is we have to be organized. This is the only way we're going to get to where we need to get at. Particularly as a nation of people, but particularly as individuals as well. It's the only way we're going to get what we need to get at. So this is why we're targeting August the 21st, Comrade George Jackson, also the historical struggle that's connected there with Comrade George Jackson, Nat Turner, the other on back, Black August all the way up to September the 9th. And this is why we're asking people to come out, demonstrate during these time periods, and also, once again, to carry the word abolition. We want people to carry the word abolition. We needed to override this word reform, you know, so we definitely wanted to carry during these time periods. So this is why we organize around those dates. And there's one last reason, too. People understand that these dates are also very significant to the prisoner resistance movement as well in this nation. So that's another reason these dates have always been selected by Jailhouse Lawyer Speak when it comes down to the resistance that we have back in this nation, across this nation, in these cages.
Okay. On a demonstration happening August 21st in D.C., What are some of the things people can expect, and how did the people participate in?
Okay, the one that's occurring, this particular demonstration is it's a lot of complexity in our organizing strategies from back here, particularly the JLS Central Committee, when we be discussing ways to organize and get things to ongoing to move. I want to thank Sister Coco for organizing the panel. That she's definitely putting some time and energy into getting organized. Extend that thank you. One of the things is that the one occurring in DC is slightly different from the ones that are occurring in other parts of the country, other parts that may be occurring in local cities as it relates to shut them down. The one in DC will be particularly focused on the political prisoners that are inside this nation today. Particularly, we're going to try to have some people that are directly connected with political prisoners. We're going to have ways that people would be able to. We'll be discussing ways that people would be able to actually get involved with the political prisoners' campaigns. Not only they to get involved with their campaigns. But also their campaigns for freedom. Let's keep in mind this is ultimately what we're talking about out there is raising awareness about these political prisoners in this nation, but not only raising awareness, but also their freedom campaigns. Because a lot of times what we're finding is that although we've seen a few political prisoners get released, it's still not a very significant release of our political prisoners inside this nation. Many of them are dying inside prison, getting old, and going through all types of, I think we got Suniata right now. He's going through dementia. We got Matula right now. He's been going through the cancer. We got Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's just the point that a lot of our political prisoners are aging, and we need more attention. And one of the things dealing with our particular movement that we have ongoing today, and we discussed this a while back, is one of the reasons we took the National Prison Strike Demands of 2018 and incorporated freeing all political prisoners inside this nation is because the movement that we've developed over the last few years has been growing widespread around the nation. But what we have not been discussing with this movement that's been growing widespread around this nation is political prisoners. And so we wanted to make sure that they are tapped into the resources that we have, that we've developed over the years as a movement, as Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, particularly as a human rights movement, want to make sure they're completely tapped into that particular audience as well. So this is why we're actually calling that demonstration as well in D.C. in the spirit of abolition.
Well, okay. For the people who I know, what exactly is a political prisoner and what designates one to be a political prisoner? What signifies that?
Okay. Well, the political prisoners, let me say this right. At times, there is a little conflict and there's a little tension when discussing what is a political prisoner, you know, and I always have to put that out there. And then I have to remind people, too, that the revolution is illegal, okay? You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about, we're not talking about people that have actually committed crimes against the people. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference there. So I want some people to understand that when our people first came over here, and I say our people, I'm speaking of the new Africans particularly that was brought over here in chains. Each one of these people that was brought over here enslaved, These was political prisoners and prisoners of war. These wasn't slaves. These was political prisoners. Okay, so we've always had some form. We've always had our people that have been wrapped up in the political prisoner banner since we've been over here. Okay, and that struggle never ended. You know. And when I say that struggle never ended, we can go to Gabriel Processor, Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey, RNA Revs, BLA, DPP, and the inside as well. So a lot of times people forget about the inside as well, the political prisoners that have developed inside the prisons and that are being prosecuted inside the prisons for their beliefs as well, their political beliefs and initiatives. So when we're talking about what is a political prisoner, We're essentially saying those individuals that was in it's two things: the political prisoner, prisoners of war. But particularly, we're talking about those that have been actively outside, actively engaged against the system for our independence, for our freedom, for our self-determination as a people. And these are people that was actively engaged. These are people that were usually some of them was part of a party. We know most famously the BLA, most famously the Black Panther Party, and there was also other formations as well where these brothers and sisters was captured, you know. And also those formations that was inside, some came in, like George Jackson came in, that we would quote-unquote call so-called criminal behavior and developed themselves and transformed themselves and became revolutionaries inside and began to be prosecuted because of their revolutionary stances and actions from the inside. And we are dealing with Rochelle McGee today, recognized as a political prisoner as well. You know, he didn't develop on the outside. He actually developed on the inside. So when we're defining political prisoners, I just want to understand there's complexities to it, but people need to understand that political prisoners are not people that commit crimes against the people, all right? These are people that are fighting the oppressors, or these are people that are fighting for our independence and self-determination as a people.
Okay. In regards to support, how can the people on the outside support these particular efforts?
Say that one more time.
So how can the people on the outside support these particular efforts?
Well, I think one of the it's two things right now that there's two things that I would ask people to do. And the first thing I would tell them is check out Jericho. Okay, Jericho was started by Jaleel Muti King. Go check that out. You can find a listing of the political prisoners that are actually listed there right now, and it will tell you about their campaigns, who they are, what they was captured for, things of that nature, and what can you do to actually get involved. And you can look up each one of these particular brothers and sisters, and it should lead you back to links that lead you directly to individuals that they have designated as point people for their particular campaign, for their individual campaigns as well. And I will also ask people to look at the strategic release, which was developed by comrades on the out towards the Cali area on the inside. And the reason I mentioned these two particularly is because they was developed by thinkers Jaleel is out now, but the other comrades are still inside. And I think that there's no one better to develop a vehicle than those that are actually in that vehicle versus those that have never been in the vehicle themselves, you know? So this is why I mentioned these two particularly. So I would tell people to check out, go to, right now you can go to amendment13.org, check out my comrades, strategic release, follow up on that, read up on it, and send messages, ask directly how can you get involved with the campaign of strategic release. So Jericho, once again, and strategic release would be the two highest one on our banner, particularly Jailhouse Lawyer Speak, that we would recommend for people to go out and to get involved with. Obviously, when you come to the Shut Them Down demo in the D.C. area, and we're only speaking on the D.C. area at the moment because there's other ones going on around the nation, too, that's specifically targeting prisons and jails. You go out to the D.C. area, there will also be flyers, table events. There'll be it's also family friendly, kids and all that. It'll be family friendly as well, from my understanding. But there will also be representatives out there as well that will be able to talk to you about how to get involved with particular political prisoners campaigns directly.
Okay. I want to say something about on Jericho for historical purpose, right? Bobby Jim Luther King, he won in the final. It was actually three finals. The other two finals was Bobby Herman Ferguson, who also was a former new African political prisoner, and Sister Safia Bakari, who was a former new African POW, who was neither one no longer with us. You know, and so they understand the inside as well in regard to their respect thing. You know, and so that court, especially in regards, you know, like you said, you create the release. You know, street releases that has been signed, that have been implemented by new African political prison from the shoe line, which is a special housing unit where people have been locked up 24 hours. Because a lot of Georgia time, they only need in one house, they locked down 24 hours a day. And you neglect it, you know what I'm saying, your rights and everything else in there. So brother be put in a dark, small cell to give them time to deal with themselves and to think. You know what I'm saying? The only way you can get out of this system, the only way you defeat that opposition, that adversity, is to think your way out of it. Because if you don't think, you'll go insane. And then every life you find, you know what I'm saying, really foolish in regards to your situation. You know, again, I want to thank you for coming to that broadcast. I'm sure you know we understand. Thanks for the work you're doing in the past, work you're doing in the present, work you're doing in the future, right? You know, at this time, I'm about to open a lineup for a couple of callers. But before I do that, do you want to leave any kind of content information on that, or information to get the access to the JSR lawyer, or the access to the shutdown demonstration? You have like any content information, assets, or any kind of links that you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. For those that are interested in hosting a shut them down demonstration, or if you will be hosting a shut them down demonstration in your city, because there's a lot of people we know will be hosting, and you want us to promote it, you can reach out at us at outthemud.jls@gmail.com. Once again, that's outthemud.jls@gmail.com. Or you also can go to iamweubuntu.com, and it should be a link on that as well. That may be more simpler for some people to go to iamweubuntu.com, and you should be able to find the Shut 'Em Down page and be able to go on there, find a link. Also, it should have the email address listed as well. If you're interested in the demonstration in D.C. that will be directly targeting the political prisoners directly dealing with and addressing the political prisoners campaign in this nation, you can also go to iamweubuntu.com as well. They should have some contact information there, but you can also go directly to shutemdowndc.com and leave a message. They're looking for speakers and other people that would like to be involved in other ways to help that program along. So once again, I am weubuntu.com and shutemdowndc.com.
Okay, Shana and Dulu. At this time, I'm about to open the lines up. If you have any question, comment, or statement, please press 1. At this time, again, you have any question, comment, or statement, please press 1. Open up a few lines. See what's going on right quick. You have to see what's going on.
All right, on.
919-971. You have any question, comment, statement to make, please do so at a time. 919-971. Your line is open.
Oh, no. I was just listening in.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I think the brothers were very informative in what they said. You know, I think everything was explained clearly. You know what I'm saying? Heart goes out to the comrades. I appreciate everything that y'all doing. You know, hey, keep struggling alive.
Yes, sir. We also had a sister speaking too as well, brother. You know, they all had a sister speaking as well, you know.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the sister. I said comrade. She's a comrade. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No doubt. We appreciate that again, brother. No doubt. Appreciate you for listening, well, brother. North, just stay tuned, brother. Keep on supporting the movement, brother. Push forward, brother. Free the land. Yes, sir.
Right on. Free the land.
Yes, sir. Body be necessary. Okay. We'll throw another caller right quick. 562-212. You have a question, comment, statement. To make this happen, please. The line is open. 562-212.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. We hear you. We hear you. So it's a free line.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we hear you, Mama.
Free to land by any means necessary, bro. All right. I'm grateful to hear the deep explanation of everything that's going on in this stage of the struggle. I'm happy to hear it laid out so well from the brothers and sisters. I'm Mama Sukari, and an AIDS veteran in this struggle, and I understand. Now, I think I remember the shoe lockdown is 24 hours, but 1 hour is supposed to be on the yard or a little caged-in yard, caged-in. I don't know how that's going now. But back in the 70s and the 80s, that was it. Yeah. Yeah. But that was how it was, and the brothers managed to work together. But I'm really just grateful to hear the explanation of every aspect. I remember the Ubuntu struggle in South Africa. So when I heard that, I thought it applied applicably. And to hear addressing the term of abolition just really speaks out volumes to me. What I hear is just abolished, you know what I mean? And that's basically what was started back when they took the effort to dismantle slavery. And to see it reduced to a penal action is definitely something that should be addressed. That 13th Amendment, as well as that three-fourths of a man, and I could go on and with other parts of the Constitution that needs to be addressed. But the main thing is definitely that abolitionist. I really enjoyed the presentation of that, as well as what's going on and how to do it. And if you can say anything else more to me, I would appreciate it.
Who are you referring to, Mama? Who are you referring to, Mama? Who are you referring to?
The presenter.
Both the AGL, Sister Coco.
Yeah, either one, okay. The presenters.
Okay.
All
right. Let's go ahead and blow it all then. Go ahead.
Sister Coco.
Okay. I think, in my own journey through within abolition, or thinking of myself or practicing abolition, the one thing I do on a daily basis is I think about my contradictions, right, and to abolition, right, and like what are the things that I do on a daily basis to contribute or to counter, right? And I think that sometimes on an individual level, sometimes we can also do those things that what we can do to support folks on the inside on a daily basis. And sometimes that work is going to be, as we know, not so easy. But I think that, if just as someone who is on the outside, who does, spend a lot of time and effort and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of, and I think that, that big word is sacrifice, to make sure that, our brothers and sisters and our comrades and our children are taken care of, because we know that the state is not doing that. So I think that sometimes can be helpful when thinking of abolition, of just what we can do every day to make a difference as well.
Much appreciated.
On my end, I just want to let you know that expect us to bring that word more home to people.
Right.
Bring it back, re-resurrect it. That's the goal. That's the focus.
Yeah, it's clear. It's very clear. I appreciate it. I struggled with it, as the sister said, but then I had to apply it, to the things I did and things that I needed to do. you know, but I'm really encouraged by all the strides that I've seen, the efforts that have been put forth, and I'm grateful.
Right on.
Sure indeed. Sure indeed. Sure indeed, Mama Star.
I say.
Sure indeed.
I say.
Yes. You have anything else to say? That's it, Mom.
I'm good. I'm full. I enjoyed it. So it was so concise and clear. I really appreciated it. I really appreciate it. We're still working together on all kinds of areas. So I'm in a remote area now, but I'm definitely an earshot away.
True indeed. True indeed. No, I want to thank you for your sacrifice, your commitment, your work and dedication. Throughout the years, I want to be the president, you know, be a consistency. I want to thank you for that. Salute you for that, you know, and your support.
I say.
Smile, free to land. I say.
And by any means necessary.
Okay.
For whatever.
About to open up the line for, yes, ma'am. Open up the line for another caller. Okay. 11111, your line is open. Yeah, question, comment, statement, made to do so this time, your line is open. 11111, your line is open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mama.
My phone is acting a fool, so I didn't know whether or not I could be heard. Free to land.
What I've heard.
That I am also a political prisoner who's not behind the walls now. I finally fought my way out. It took a while, but I did it. And when I listen to other political prisoners speak about this struggle that we've had going on for the last 400 plus years and the form that it's taking now, today, it reminds me of at least the organization of it, reminds me of the Underground Railroad. Because on each level, you know, we fought against our oppression. You had the abolitionists on one level, the drivers. On another level, you had the safe house hostesses. On another level, you had the brothers and sisters who held other brothers and sisters accountable, and then you had the black ghosts who held white people who oppressed us accountable. And it seems that the organizational structure continues to be consistent even over all of these years. And I'm really proud to be a political prisoner. I'm proud to continue the work. I'm proud that y'all are still in this fight, because those of us in this fight there are times when we feel really alone. And I thank you for just standing strong. I have a love for y'all. I'm an elder now. And I have a love for y'all that is just difficult to put in words. I love y'all. Thank y'all for being. I am Elder Mama Condi. I yield.
All right. Okay. Free line. Thank you, Ed Mama Condi. Thank you for your contribution in the past, the contribution in the present, and thank you for the work you're doing right now. And we salute you as well, sister.
Absolutely. Salute, Mama Condi. Salute.
Salute.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I thought that voice sound awfully familiar.
No, you're welcome, Mom Kai. No doubt. No doubt, Mom Kai.
Yeah, Yeah, because no me doubt. And that boys, we go back, what is it now, brother, about 30, 40 years?
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Yes, ma'am.
It's been a while. I'm very proud of you, brother. I'm very, very proud of you. I'm proud of you to tears.
Absolutely.
Extremely proud. Thank you for being my brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, man. Yes, ma'am. No doubt.
Thanks for money. I'm good.
Okay. You're welcome for your line. Okay. Okay. Let me see. I think we got one more. I think we got one more call. Let me see if y'all want to say anything. I think I got one more call. 803-378. You have a question, comment, or statement to make. Please do so at the time. 803-378. You're live. Go.
Free to land. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. By your neck there. Yes, sir.
Revolutionary Greetings. This is Darren. You know, I want to say my salutations to Coco and JS. Thank you so much for like sharing information that you have been sharing this evening. You know, Bomani, thank you so much for this platform. Like, it's definitely very unique and very informative and fulfilling to like, you know, to listen to this platform. It's nothing like anything like it, you know, out here right now. And you know, keep up the good work. I had a question. You know, I like to like read and study and collect books, so I had a question for both your guests, Coco and JS. So, like, what are some literature that's that you would recommend, you know, for folks to read, you know, and study, not just read, but study that had, like, you know, either had an impact on your life and, you know, something that we need to really, like, continue to, like, come back to and read and study and share with others. And I'll log off, sign off, and listen to your answer.
Okay. So the Coco, go ahead.
Brother Darren, good to hear from you. So I think some I have a lot of books that I read, but, or go get and start, you know, reading and stuff like that. But as far as like inspiration, one book that I consistently go back to is The War Before, with Sophia Bakari. I think that book, I had it for quite a while. I actually had it for like about 7 years, and I knew it was one of those books that, you know, somebody has said, you know, if you really want to think about abolition, you're going to read this book. And I had a comrade who had mentioned, you know, this idea of contradictions, and like, you know, every time that they think about contradictions, they go back to that book. And so I started to read that book, and I felt like there was like these, you know, deeper connections. If we think about, you know, Sister Sophia, and I think that, you know, her struggles, I think her observations, I think that, you know, thinking about, if we're thinking about the past and, you know, our past, our struggles in the past and the lessons that were learned, when thinking of, you know, formation, right, and thinking of coming together and thinking of direct action and coordinated efforts, and our political prisoners, and specifically, you know, these different areas. I think that when you know, go back to that book, you can constantly find areas of inspiration, not just, you know, specifically with abolition, but with spirituality, and thinking of, you know, how she told her stories and her everyday life and her experiences and her her views, and how, you know, these things that, you know, these constant struggles that we face when engaging in this you know, work. I think that something is, that one book is definitely a huge inspiration for me specifically.
Okay. Okay, brother SJ.
Yes, sir.
Are you got any more to say about the cocoa? That's it, or? Jeremy Sosa. So Coco, was that it? You got any more?
Yeah. I think, you know, I could go through a list of books, but I think, you know, again, like that, you know, specific to the question, I think, you know, as a sister in struggle, I think, you know, that again, like I said, is definitely a book that that I would continuously go back to. And obviously, like, you know, right now I'm reading some deeper books. Or getting into a little bit more of like the organizational part of things, I think is some, you know, some of the texts that I'm reading. But like I said, that one book has definitely been a huge inspiration for me.
Okay, I appreciate it. Well, AJ, it's your time to ask the rest of y'all ask a question. Go ahead. What's your part in there?
All right. Well, right on. Well, top of the book list, I would tell everybody, brothers and sisters, to go out and grab Soledad Brothers and Blood in My Eyes. This is something I recommend reading for everybody, particularly if you're trying to get a feel of what we're talking about when we're talking about abolition as it leads on up to the bigger struggle. So with that said, with those two right there on top, I would tell brothers to read any and everything you can read, and we can go down a list of books or pamphlets out there, but I would tell people to read any and everything you can by our political prisoners, those present and those that have returned to the ancestors in the past, you know, those that returned to the ancestors, but read anything you can along those lines, anything you can find. Get it, drink it, eat it, do whatever you can do, get it, because that's what's going to get you where you need to be at, okay? That's what that said as it relates to this particular level that we're on right now today that's going to get us where we need to go. And also, I would say read whatever you can, Steve Biko. Love Steve Biko writings. Get some of his particular writing. Also, you can also get some of the Diop, Sheikh Anta Diop, get some of his. Also Maremi Ani, and also just a host of others, John G. Jackson, particularly as it relates to some culture issues, some history as it relates to our people. These are the things that shaped me. These are the things that I believe that are impactful in the movement. And keep in mind, it's not just political reading all the time. Well, everything is politics, actually, you know. So, but I'm going to say also make sure you're also developing yourself culturally as well. Make sure you're developing yourself, because we have to build something that is contrary to the current culture that we have today in order to overcome. If we're still practicing the same culture we got today, we're in love with it, we're not going anywhere. So we have to begin to redevelop ourselves, re-Africanize ourselves across the board. And that's all I have to say on that front.
True indeed. Go ahead and give us your final thought. I'm going to get a cocoa final. Go ahead and give your final thought, what you want to leave us with. You're in, brother AJ.
Oh, okay. You say the final thoughts? Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I guess as a final thought, particularly, I just want to tell the people out there to please make sure that you're keeping in mind the ongoing struggles that are going on inside behind enemy lines, particularly as it relates to our New African struggle. Particularly as it relates to prisoners that are organized on the strength of still pushing forward to create a better world, still pushing forward to create a better community and stronger family ties. I always want to remind people what one of the comrades said, that we're, you know what I'm saying, we're always should always take the prison movement, as the opportunity to make sure that we are pushing it in the right direction. Hold up for one sec, come around.
No doubt.
Somebody was at that door just now. Great. Somebody was at that door just now. All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I hear you. All right, go ahead.
All right, then. But anyway, though, just to make sure that we're taking the prison movement seriously, and understanding that there are sacrifices being made each time we're pushing forward messages or agendas from behind these walls. Please understand that, once again, we're making sacrifices, we're taking chances, trying to do the right thing, staying in the fight for our people. That's all I have to say on that. Free the land.
I didn't mean that, sir. Okay. So, Coco, what are your final thoughts? What you going to leave us with?
You know, like, I think, you know, a few things that, you know, a lot of people on the outside specifically can get involved in a lot of the prisoner-led movements that, you know, get an understanding of what Jailhouse Lawyers Speak is, the work that they're doing, and a lot of the work that of other prisoner-led movements that, you know, coincide with this type of work, like with the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission and Amend the 13th with the strategic release. You have Prison Lives Matter, and that's also a newer initiative. I think is also important to even, you know, go back to what Darren had asked. I think a lot of reading material can be found in the zines that, you know, are now available. And I think I just, you know, as I think us as people on the, you know, on the outside, like, we have to take a look at, you know, the capacity that we have to support these efforts. And I think that it's we all benefit from this. And I think that's a huge aspect of it. Like, and not in many ways than one, right? It may not be somebody that's directly affected by this today, but that does not mean that they're not affected by it tomorrow. And if at all, you know, we are affected by it on a daily basis through our daily social lives. But I do think that, you know, with thinking of abolition, I do think that we, as anyone who's thinking about abolition or thinking about this understanding of abolition, I think we, you know, have an opportunity here to really step that up. I think we really have an opportunity to listen to folks who are on the inside, who have voices, who are telling us what they need from us. I think we have a huge opportunity to get out there and to make these connections and to make connections. And it, you know, these connections and the stuff, it develops over time. And I think, you know, if we put a little bit of work in on a daily basis, I think that we can really truly see in our lifetime or in our children's lifetime, you know, these systems crumble. And I think that that's something that I think it's extremely important. If we are, as a people, are going to survive, it's extremely important, because, you know, it's just too many people. Too many people are inside, and that affects everyone. It doesn't just affect, you know, it affects everyone. So, you know, I just say, let's step it up and let's, you know, put our best effort forward in when it comes down to getting involved.
True indeed. True indeed. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our platform to share some of this platform and share your knowledge and understanding. I want to thank you both for working on committing the past, working in the present, working in the future. And I was along, you have to interfere along in the position. Before I end the show, I'd like to give a couple of announcements. On August the 1st, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be a virtual Black August program that was by Black August Organizing Committee. You can get more information. If you get is there a flyer posted on Georgia University
Facebook page, it was Jordan University Instagram page, it was Jordan University Twitter page, and also on social media, on other social media like Facebook, you know, just on regular people pages. And also taking place on July the 17th and 18th will be a teleconference of the People's City Council of Brilliant Folk in Africa with the People's City Council call, which you also can find information on the Facebook page, Republic of New Africa, as well as on the Instagram page, Republic of New Africa, and the Twitter page, Northern Republic of New Africa. Find more information about it. And also, if you're interested in learning more about New Africa, the Bridge of Republic of New Africa, go on that website, which is www.pg-rna.com. And once upon a going on the website, you need to create a profile, sign in, so you can ask for all the information and documentation. I'm saying Law and Resistance, Law and New African Independent Movement, Free Our New African Political Prisoner, New African POW, and Catch New African Citizens, Free the Land.
One more, I forgot.
You have any comrade, by any means, sir. I forgot if you have any comrade, close associate, friend, or loved one behind enemy line. You look into our website, which is www.georgegakson.university.com. Free the Land.